for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Friday evening, April 17, 1987. Passover weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the evening.
I am the God of the house, saith the Lord. Yea, and I shall reward my servants according to their work, saith the Lord. Know that this be an hour and a time that thy God shall visit his people. So cry out unto thy Lord, for the Lord has heard your petitions. But yea, seek the Lord while he can be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Yea, he shall draw nigh to thee as you draw nigh to him. He has promised that in his word. So draw near to thy God this night. Cry out unto thy God. Yea, ask those things that you need, and the Lord shall provide. He is thy provision, and he shall meet your needs. Hallelujah.
But I demand to walk in the Spirit, saith the Lord. I demand a holy and a clean life, saith the Lord. And as you lay your life down, know that thou shalt take on my life in the unity and in the love of the Lord. For surely I put my love in you. I put my unity in you, my people. So yea, walk thou in the Spirit, and truly you shall overcome the desires of the flesh. For this be an hour again that the Lord would warn, and the Lord would say, there is a shaking in the land, and yea, I shall shake, and I shall bring down the high tower, saith the Lord. I shall bring down the pride of man, saith the Lord. But I shall raise up the lowly, and those that have humbled themselves before me. For surely in the hour ahead, saith God, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. Yea, I'm going to cause men to quake and to shake at my presence, that all men might know that I dwell in the heavens, and I dwell in my people, and that I rule my people, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, Jesus, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I think we should praise the Lord. Father, again tonight, we thank you and we bless you, Lord, for what you've said so far in this meeting. We thank you for deliverance and healing and all that you've done in the midst of your people. God, we thank you tonight for the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord God, for people that are entering the kingdom, Lord, that are paying the price. Lord, we thank you for those people. But most of all, we thank you, Father, for Jesus, the one who gave all, Lord, that we might enter the kingdom. And so, Lord, tonight we pray that you would open our hearts to receive the engrafted word which is able to save our soul.
Yes.
Lord, enlighten us, quicken us together, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I want to talk tonight, as the Lord will direct you, on mixture. I mean, we see a lot of mixture in the church. But first of all, I think we should see it in ourselves, because each one of us have mixtures within us. You know, judgment does not always burn sin out always. What I mean by that is that, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by God. Isn't that right? And as it was smoldering, how many know that the two daughters of Lot committed incest with their father? Are you hearing me? Now, if we take our daughters or our family into Sodom, how many know it's going to affect them? Amen? Amen. Now, he had two daughters. They had incest with him. And who was born? Who can tell me the name? Ammon and Moab. Amen? Now, turn to Jeremiah 48. Jeremiah 48. Let's start there tonight. In the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Now, God allowed Jeremiah and his daughters to come out. As I said, Sodom and Gomorrah was burnt up by fire. But Sodom affected those daughters. And in Jeremiah 48, look at verse 15 tonight. Moab is spoiled and gone up out of her cities, and his chosen young men are gone down to the slaughter. Saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, the calamity of Moab is near to come, and his affliction hasteth fast. All ye that are about him, bemoan him, and all ye that what? That know his name. But how many know the enemy doesn't want Moab to be known in the church? Come on. Now look in verse 11 through 13. I'm just going to lay a foundation here, so hang with me. 48:11 of Jeremiah. Notice the scripture. Moab hath been at ease from his youth. That's his lifestyle. He has settled on his lees or on the dregs or the filth, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Why does God fill you and me up? That we may empty ourselves out, that we may dispense the wine. Isn't that right? But Moab has not emptied himself from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remains in him, and his sin is not changed. There's no discernment, he still stinks. Now, look in verse 42. Verse 42. And Moab shall be destroyed from being a people, because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. Now, look in verse 46, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Translation. I'm going to read from the Amplified Translation from Jeremiah 48. If I can find it. And I want to look at verse 46 and 47. Praise the Lord. Notice the scripture. Woe to you, O Moab, the people of the God of Chemosh are undone, for your sons are taken captives and your daughters are into captivity. Yet will I reverse the captivity. Notice now what God said in verse 47. Yet will I reverse the captivity and restore the fortunes of Moab, and when? In the latter days, saith the Lord, thus far is the judgment on Moab. So God said there's going to be a resurrection or restoration of Moab in the latter days. Did you hear that? Amen. Now, Moab is a man of mixture, double-minded man, a person, one who will cover the sin. We see incest in him, immorality, but there is a mixture within Moab. Amen? Now, his name means, one of his name, meaning of his names means this, one who comes out of the Father. One who comes out of Father. One just like Father. I mean, one time Jesus said to the religious people, you're of your father, come on, the devil. Moab is one like Father. He was. But who was the father of Moab? Lot. He was just like Lot. Amen? What was in Lot was in Moab. And one of the meanings of Lot means to be veiled or to cover over. Moab is the seed of Lot. Hallelujah. I mean, Lot wanted to give his two daughters to those men of Sodom. Can you imagine a father wanting to do that? And yet the daughters committed incest with him. Now, look in Genesis 13 a minute. In Genesis 13, I'll keep your mind on the Lord tonight. Amen. I feel we need to stay with each other in the Spirit in this message tonight. In Genesis 13, verse 9, notice the scripture. Abraham said, is not the whole land before thee? That's Lot. He's talking to Lot. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If you depart to the right, I'll go to the left. There was no covetousness in Abraham. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan. And it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 11. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. How many know God will separate the carnal from the spiritual? Yes, the Bible calls him a righteous man, but he was a carnal man. Abraham was a righteous man. He was a man who had the mind of the Lord many times in his life. Praise the Lord. But there was a separation. Now look at verse 12. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. And notice, first of all, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Amen? He pitched his tent on the way to Sodom. Now, look in chapter verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And yet Lot chose that place. Now look in chapter 14, verse 12. 14:12. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. First he pitched his tent that way, now he's in Sodom. He's right in the midst of homosexuals, come on, and lesbians and whatever. And then in chapter 19, verse 1, here he is among the government of Sodom. 19:1, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. When you talk about the gate, you're talking about authority. You're talking about an elder running among the local government of Sodom. So first of all, he pitches his tent towards Sodom, then he lives in Sodom, and then he's running the government right in the middle of Sodom. But thank God, how many know that even God's grace got him out? Amen? Yes, sir. Now, God said there's going to be a restoration of Moab. And Lot is the father of Moab. Hallelujah. How many know there's a false prosperity in the land? We won't go into that tonight, but there's a lot I could go into, and I'm going to skip over some of this because I don't feel to go into this. But how many know in Revelation, because when you deal with this situation, you're dealing with Balak, you're dealing with Balaam, when you're dealing with Moab. How many know Balak was the king of Moab? And yet, when you deal with Balak, you have to deal with Balaam because he was trying to get Balaam to curse the people. But Balaam saw something. He saw a lust in God's people, and all he knew of what he wanted to do or what he did do, he told the secret to Balak how if they would intermingle, they'd be ensnared. There is a doctrine of Balaam in the church. There is a doctrine of Jezebel in the church. There is a doctrine of the Nicolaitans in the church. Come on. Amen. There is a mixture in the churches in Revelation. And there is a mixture in 1987 in our lives. And yet many times we're either blinded or we do not want to see what God wants to show us in our lives and clean up, get it out, and go on with God. But I don't believe we can keep and hang on to those things in this hour. Amen. And please God. Because he is going to sift the church. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said he's going to sift the church. And if you're not being sifted already, then you're not doing anything for God. Because if you're in the fire, brother, you're doing something for God today. Come on. Amen. Amen. I hope it hits between the eyes tonight because I want it to. God has got to get over to you and I tonight that we're in a mixture, we're in a battle, and the warfare is raging, but thank God, he's able to bring us through. Amen? Praise the Lord. Balaam is in the church in Revelation. And I tell you, there is a false prosperity in the land. There is a teaching in the land that tickles the ears. Amen? Turn to Daniel 8. Let's look at it. Hallelujah. Daniel 8. And I believe, brethren, there is a true prosperity in God. But there is a false prosperity. Hallelujah. Daniel 8. Look in verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, full. Just as there is a people going to come to his fullness, a corporate body. The devil has a corporate body. Come on. A king of fierce countenance who will understand dark sentences. How many know God's light? Devil's kingdom is full of darkness. Shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy. That word destroy means corrupt. The corrupter is Satan tonight. Amen. By his power shall, notice now, and his power shall the mighty, he shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall corrupt wonderfully and shall prosper in practice and shall corrupt or destroy, come on, who? The mighty and the holy people. You can't be holy unless Jesus is in you. Amen. Well, that means some of them's going to be here. Hallelujah. My doctrine was I would fly away. But the Bible doctrine's a lot different than what I was taught. Hallelujah. And those who are looking to fly away in a minute, most of them are ready to go anyway. Come on. You can believe it if you want to. But I tell you, there's trouble coming for the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is trouble coming in America for the church. We know already around the world the church is in tribulation. Hallelujah. We have believed that lie in America, haven't we? But I'm here to tell you, as one of God's spokesmen, it is a lie. Hallelujah. There is a people that's arising, though, with the vision. Amen? And with the help of God, they don't believe that any longer. Praise the Lord. But it says here, he will destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also, he shall cause deceit or craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart. And I'll tell you, there's even something in you and me tonight that wants to do that, and that's that beast. And anything that wants to puff you and I up and lift you and I up and put us on the throne, you can believe it's from the enemy. Hallelujah. Because self wants to be number one. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ has got to be number one. Amen. Now look at verse 25. He'll magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, security, or prosperity shall corrupt or destroy many. He will stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. God's going to take care of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, turn to Matthew 13. There is a mixture in the holy place. Now, how many know that the holy place, or let me put it this way, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are much alike. But there are other areas where they're not alike. I want you to hear that. There are many areas where they are alike. They're exact alike. But there are other areas where they're not alike. Now, in the outer court, there is the doctrines of men. In the holy place, we're going to see a mixture tonight in a few scriptures. But when you enter the kingdom of God, there is no mixture.
Right.
There's a difference. In fact, many are struck down at the holy, at the golden altar of incense in the holy place. Because God will not let them go on in with sin in their life. Now, I'm not saying they'll necessarily be lost. Because many just lose their physical life. That's what I'm saying. Are you hearing me? Uzziah is one example in the Bible. Now, in Matthew 13, look in verse 24. Now, before, I can't read it yet. There is that martial arts I'm seeing coming in the holy place. How many are seeing it, brethren? Be honest. Just a few of you. The carnal mind wants to rule the holy place. It is the soul realm, you know. But it is the area of rebellion. Now, when Jesus said in Matthew 24:15 that the man of sin will stand in the holy place that has several meanings. But, I mean, there is a natural meaning, all right, but there is a spiritual meaning also. And tonight, even in the church, the man of sin is standing in the holy place. Because carnal mind is ruling most people, most churches, and whatever. And we're all coming out of carnality if we're growing in God. Isn't that right? All of it. But it is the sin of rebellion or the sin of destruction that's standing there tonight. And Paul talked about the wicked one going to be revealed. And the wicked one is the lawless one, the one without law. And most of us don't like law. I'm talking about God's law. But how many know we've got to be under God's law? God's command. Now, Matthew 13, 24. Matthew 13, 24. Notice the scripture. Another parable put he forth, Jesus, unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in the field. Well, how many know the good seed is the word of God? But while men slept, foolish virgin, his enemy, who's the enemy? Satan came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, among not only means like in here, but also in here. I mean, you know, when you start sleeping spiritually, the enemy's going to throw some tares in you. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Now, he said the kingdom is like that. Now, what does that mean? That means there's a mixture of wheat and tares there. Are you hearing? Now, look in verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea. The sea speaks of the nation's humanity, and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, sat down, gathered the good into vessels, and did something else. Cast the bad away. So shall it be. What are we dealing with here? The kingdom of heaven. So shall it be at the end of the age. We've come to the end of the age. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just. Hallelujah. How many know the man next to you, the woman next to you in church might be Antichrist? Not the Antichrist, but an Antichrist. And because of no discernment in most places, it happens. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And brethren, listen to me. One of the greatest things that's keeping people tonight out of the kingdom of God, as well as the kingdom of heaven, is one simple thing. But it's not simple. False prophets. Amen? Let me show you that. Turn to Matthew 7. Irma touched it this morning. Matthew 7. Jesus said in verse 13, enter you in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. The word destruction is the same word as perdition. I mean, oh, Judas is called the son of perdition. The Antichrist is called the son of perdition. And so he said, this broad way will lead people into the beast system. And many there be that go in thereat, because straight the gate, narrow is the way that leads unto life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're dealing with the Holy of Holies, hundredfold realm. Are you hearing me? And few there be that find it. I mean, oh, God's got a remnant. You're going to enter. Few. He said, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And yet he said, here, a few. Now, the multitude heard the kingdom, but they did not understand the kingdom. It was just a handful that understood it. Amen? But what's verse 15? Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They look like a sheep, but they stink like a wolf. How many know a wolf can't grow wool? He's got deceptive tracks. But if you got a good sheepdog, how many know you can't fool a good one? No, sir. We need men and women in the church that can discern false prophets when they walk in the door or wherever they are. Amen? And a false prophet does this. I've said this before other places, but it's all right. They usually don't meet head-on seasoned ministries face-to-face, but they'll go to the weak ones in a church or wherever, win their confidence, and poison them with their venom. And the sheep open up to those false prophets, and they fall at the mouth against the leader.
Yes.
Amen? Now go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Let's see what Jesus said here. In verse 12, and because iniquity or lawlessness shall abound, the love of M-A-N-Y, what we call ago, many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure to end the same shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. But go back to verse 11. What's the key verse? And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive. How many?
Many.
Hallelujah. Now, turn to Matthew 20. Let's see this mixture here in the holy place of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. How many know the Lord's going to reward every man according to his labor and his work? And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, because that was a day's wage, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. A lot of idle Christians today, isn't it? And said to them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, which I believe possibly we could be living in, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why stand you here all the day idle? And they said to him, because no man had heard us. He saith unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. I'll tell you, Jesus will never cheat you. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to the steward, call the labor, give them their hire, beginning from what? The last to the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, now we're dealing with the kingdom of heaven. We're dealing with people who speak in tongues. Come on. Prophesy and cast out devils. We believe in that. Are you hearing me? But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, but they agreed for a penny. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured. There's your complainer. Against the good man of the house. I mean, when we murmur against him. So in this kingdom of heaven, there is murmuring and complaining and grumbling and griping, isn't there? In fact, some people get mad at God. Isn't that right? Saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us. I don't care how long you've been in this thing. How many know he's able to bring some people in at the 11th hour? Huh? Hallelujah. And he's going to do it. Because I'm going to show you right here he's going to do it. Would you have borne the burden and the heat of the day? And thank God for those people that's done that. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way, I will give to the last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil? That's in the kingdom of heaven realm. Because I am good. So the last. Now here's the principle Jesus set down right here in the scripture. Now you can look at it from Jew and Gentile standpoint. I don't care what standpoint you look at it. But so the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, and few are chosen. So right here in the kingdom of heaven realm, there is greed, there's envy, there's an evil eye, there's murmuring, and there's jealousy. How many know we're there tonight? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at it. I'll read it from the Amplified. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul said, however, brethren, I could not talk to you as to spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates. I mean, these are spirit-filled people he's talking to right here in this chapter. Tongue-talking people, come on. As to mere infants, in the new life in Christ, unable to talk yet, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not yet strong enough to be ready for it. But even yet, you are not strong enough to be ready for it, for you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh, under the control of ordinary impulses, for as long as there are envying and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves, after a human standard and like mere unchanged men? Hello. Pretty strong. Now turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. I'll tell you, the baptism in the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues the first time. How many know it's not a goal, it's a gateway? It's a gateway into many great things in God. But many have received and just sat down. Isn't that right? But there is no sitting down in God. Matthew 25. How many know in this chapter you've got preparation, you've got production, and you've got perception among those that know God. Among those that don't know God, you've got those who are unprepared, those who do not produce, and those who are not receiving. Now, and three parables in this chapter. Verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. They're all saved, aren't they? And I believe they're all spirit-filled. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. But 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Right in the kingdom of heaven realm, there is a mixture. Half and half. And 5 is a number of ministry. There is a foolish ministry. There is a wise ministry. A wise ministry says, stay filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yes. And a foolish ministry won't tell you that. Come on. There's a lot here, brother. How many know the 5 wise met the bridegroom at midnight? Midnight's coming. Tribulation's coming. Darkness is coming. There's the people that will have not only the oil in their lamp and their spirit, but they'll have it in the vessel. That's the soul. There's an overshadowing of Christ in their soul realm. They've been sealed in their mind for midnight. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. You know, again, I want to say this. The gift of the Holy Ghost is free. But to replenish that oil, it's going to cost you. You've got to stay with God. Isn't that right? And seek the face of God. You can't supply others. They have to supply themselves. Amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Notice what Jesus said here. In verse 1, at the same time came the disciples to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's the greatest? Matthew 18, 1. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Huh. Who's the greatest preacher? Who's the greatest this? Who's the greatest that? Jesus called a little child unto him. Doc can relate to this. And set him in the midst of them. And said, verily I say to you, except you be converted, and become as little children. You shall not enter what? The kingdom of heaven. Anything we'll get from God, we've got to humble ourselves as that child. Isn't that right? Humility, we believe God. There's many things we can say about that. Now, verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So if you want to be great, you've got to go down. And when you go down, how many know he's able to raise you up? But the devil didn't do that. He went up, and how many know he slipped and fell? Jesus said, I saw him fall as lightning from heaven. Now, look in verse 7. Woe to the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee. Now, we know if you offend, you're not moving in the kingdom as God wants you to move. Isn't that right? So the first thing he said, if your hand, what's that? That's your occupation. That's your work. Whatever you're doing with this hand, if it's doing something wrong in the kingdom of heaven, you've got to cut it off. Not your hand. What you're doing wrong. Isn't that right? And your foot, that's your walk life. And let me tell you, the devil is after your walk life. The Bible said that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And he would bruise the heel. The heel is your lowest part of your body. It's your walk life. That's what Satan is after. And the heel also represents iniquity in Scripture. Amen? But he's after your and my walk life. Isn't that right? And so wherever our foot is going that doesn't please the Lord, you've got to stop it. I got to stop it. And then he mentions in verse 9, and the eye, if it offends, pluck it out. Well, he's certainly not telling you to reach up there and take your eyeball out. But the eye is that which covets, is greedy and lustful. Cut it off. Repent. Amen. Turn from it. We're dealing with entering the kingdom of heaven. Aren't we? So there's a mixture in that realm. Praise the Lord. There is a mixture. Turn to Hosea now. 7. Here's a mixture. Hosea. I mean, over. In verse 8, Hosea 7, 8, the word Ephraim means double fruit. God wants us to be fruitful, doesn't he? In Hosea 7, 8, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Rather than some of the things I see on TV, I see such a mixture and such garbage coming that it makes me sick. And I'm not naming names or anything like that because I don't believe in getting behind a pulpit and doing that. Somebody's called this the coward's castle. You'll say right here what you wouldn't say to somebody to their face. But there is a mixture coming in the church. And right here, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. What does that mean? That means he's yummy on one side and gummy on the other. And that means that it's like a pancake. Anybody like to eat a pancake raw or half done and half, you know, full of dough? God wants to flip you and me and turn us where we'll get done. Come on. Amen. This one here, it says, he mixed himself among the people. And he's that cake that is not turned. God is going to flip some of us. Maybe he's already flipped a few. Hallelujah. Because of the mixture. Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22. Verse 10. Deuteronomy 22:10. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. That's a mixture. I mean, an ox likes to be yoked, but the old ass likes the bit and bridle deal. I mean, there's a beast, there's an ass in us. And I'll say that in the right way. There is a beast in us. There's an Ishmael in us. He was a wild man. It means wild ass. Amen? Now, next verse. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. How many know linen speaks of righteousness? But woolen speaks of that which causes sweat, work, labor, toil, or the curse. And God said, you'll not work with woolen and linen. Now, that was in the natural, in the Old Testament. That was a mixture. Well, if they couldn't have a mixture then, God doesn't want mixtures today, does he? God doesn't want you to work something up and me work something up. I mean, if we have to work something up, we better sit down and let God do the work. Amen? And we know the Bible says, repentance from dead work. If it's dead, the Holy Ghost is not in it. It's the work of man. And God said that must be repented of. Isn't that right? Turn over to Acts a minute. How many's ever read about Moses? Well, let's look at something Moses did. Acts 7. Thank you, Lord. Look in verse 23. And by the way, he was mighty in words and deeds, but how many know when God got through with him, he said, I can't even speak. Amen? And sometimes we think we know so much, but when God gets through us, we don't know too much. Paul said, if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing as he should know. Right. And the more I learn, the more I recognize I don't know anything. As I should know. Verse 23, and when he was full 40. Anybody here full 40 today? Years ago, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. Brother, he stuffed him right in the sand, didn't he? For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. How many know we're not going to prove to anybody anything if we try to do something by the flesh? I said, you're not going to prove anything to anybody. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Well, God sent him to the desert 40 years, didn't he? And when he came back, I mean, he came with a commission from God. And he didn't try to do it in his strength. He was going to do it in the strength of God. Turn to Isaiah 56 just a minute. Isaiah 56. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 56. And look at verse 3. Down in the middle of verse 3. The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people, neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. Who's a eunuch? He's the one that cannot reproduce in the natural. Amen. You know, there's a scripture, listen to me now. There's a scripture that says in the Song of Solomon, my soul failed me, or failed. How many know that's good? How many know that our mind is active, sometimes too active, the wrong way? Because we're trying to do it instead of letting God do it. Amen. Now, right here, he said about the eunuchs, let the eunuch say, I'm a dry tree. But thus saith the Lord to the eunuchs, that keep my Sabbath, that choose the thing that please me and take hold of my covenant. Verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain. How many know that's Zion? And make them joyful in the house of prayer. Who? The eunuchs. The ones that reproduced. I'm talking spiritual now. Only by the Holy Ghost. Amen? How many know that the house of prayer tonight is this right here? It's either a den of thieves or a house of prayer. Jesus cleansed it once in the beginning of his ministry. He cleansed it at the end of his ministry. And how many know he's raising up his sons that's going to cleanse the house? But their house has got to be cleansed first. Isn't that right? Come on. Bible said they're going to judge the house of Esau. That's the flesh. You can't judge somebody unless you've been judged. Unless you judge yourself. Isn't that right, brethren? Hallelujah. So we can see here, there's going to be eunuchs. Those who are reproduced by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit. And not from the natural. Turn now to Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel 44. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel 44. Look in verse. There's so much in this chapter. We want to look at verse 23 first of all. Now look at verse 18. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads. Talking about the priests. They shall have linen breeches upon their loins. The loins is that area of strength here, but it's your reproductive area. And again, you must reproduce by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? How many know God touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh? He touched his reproductive area, didn't he? They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. Again, labor, work, toil. A curse. I mean, no, Adam was told that he was to work by the sweat of his brow after the curse had come. Amen. Now look in verse 23. And they shall teach my people the difference. And there is a difference. Between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. You know, Jeremiah said that there are some people go from evil to evil. The Bible says we go from glory to glory, strength to faith, and strength to strength. But he said there's a people going from evil to evil. And yet Isaiah said, well, there's a people that say evil is good and good is evil. In Isaiah 5, there's a mixture in the holy place. Amen? Praise the Lord. I hope this soaks in. Turn to Revelation 22, though. The sweat speaks to the curse. Revelation 22. And verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Hallelujah. I mean, that speaks of a union, a fellowship, an intimacy with Jesus. They shall see his face. And again, if you're going to see the face of Jesus, again, something will die in you. That his life come into you and cause you to live. They shall see his life, and his nature, his name, shall be in their foreheads. I can tell you, these people are a purged people. And these people have been purged of that mixture. I mean, we definitely need the mind of Jesus tonight. But how are you going to get his mind? By seeing him. By beholding him. And not, you know, this faction, this one and that one. But beholding the Lamb of God. Yes. Remember, it's the 144,000 that follow him whithersoever that he goeth. Isn't that right? How many know the Lamb's going someplace? He first went to the cross, but he went into the Holy of Holies, didn't he? How many know there's a cross to bear, but he's going to take a people in to that Holy of Holies, isn't he? He's going to catch them up into that realm. That's another teaching here. Praise the Lord. Let's go a little further here now. Turn to Luke 5. Luke 5. And look at verse 36. Jesus said, no man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. How many know we like to patch things up? Like putting a Band-Aid on a cancer. It don't work, does it? He said, no man puts a piece of a new garment upon the old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a what? A rent or a tear. And the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. There's no agreement. There is no agreement. We cannot patch things up, can we, any longer. Amen? Hallelujah. And then he said, no man puts new wine into old bottles. Else the new wine's going to burst the bottles. I mean, no, that's wineskin. And be spilled, and the bottles perish. And how many know also the new wine will perish? Jesus wants to preserve the wineskin and the wine. But the wineskins have to be dealt with by God. He dealt with those 12 disciples. And on the day of Pentecost, how many know He filled their wineskin with new wine? And how many know that in the natural, people like to drink the old wine better than the new? But how many know in the church, we like old traditions and things most of the time more than the new? We like to get settled in. No, we're creatures of comfort. We don't want anybody to rock our boat, but it needs to be blown up. And how many know He's going to blow some of them up in this hour? How many know He's able to stir your nest, brother, and put some needles under you and get you to moving? You say, He will? Yeah, I'll show it to you. Psalms 45, look there. Some of us need to get woke up. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalms 45. We believe man too long. Let's begin to believe Jesus and the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let's throw our traditions out the window. Let's burn them up. Hallelujah. Let God burn them up by the Holy Ghost. Look in Psalms 45, verse 9. King's daughters were among the honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. That's the finest gold. That's God's gold. His nature. Verse 11. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Verse 13. The king's daughter is all glorious. Come on. Within, with his nature. Her clothing, this is not just out here, it's within as well. How many know the inner garment's more important than your outer garment? Although, we have to, you know, look presentable outwardly too. But notice, her clothing is of wrought gold. Wrought gold. How many know He bought us? But something's being wrought. She shall be brought. Now, here it is. Hallelujah. That's the word I really wanted to say. Wrought and brought. She shall be brought to the king in raiment of needlework. And there is a ministry arising that's going to stick you. How many of you to use the needle, women? You've got to use your fingers and your hands. There's a hand ministry of apostles and prophets and teachers and shepherds and evangelists that God's using to perfect the church or mature the church. Amen? It's the hand ministry. Hallelujah. She shall be brought to the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee, and so forth. There's another message there. But there is a ministry that's going to stick you. Praise the Lord. Turn to Jeremiah 15. But God wants those wineskins prepared. I mean, to have a wineskin, it took the death of an animal. Towel for hands and feet, and feet and hands, and use the neck for a spout. You got to lose your head to be a wineskin. You know that? You got to lose the carnal mind. We got to have His mind if we're going to be the wineskin. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. What is wine a type of, brethren? The joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now turn to Jeremiah 15. Here's a prophet. God told him in verse 15, Jeremiah is talking about being suffering rebuke. Verse 16. Thy words were found. Thy words were found. You know, you've got to go after the Word of God. The Bible said the overcomers eat the hidden manna. That means that something is hidden. It's got to be uncovered. You've got to dig for it. You've got to search the Scripture to see if those things be so. Isn't that right? Thy words were found. I did eat them. It became a part of Him. I mean, when you eat natural food, it gives strength and energy to your body, and then you eliminate the other. And when this Word gets in you, how many know God starts eliminating things in you and me? Because that Word's going to speak to us and wash us. Isn't that right, brother? Hallelujah. And thy Word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. It is joy when it comes in. It's like honey. Yes. Look in verse 17. You're talking about separation? I sit not in the assembly of the mockers. How many know with mockery comes blasphemy and cursing? nor rejoice, I said, alone because of thy hand. And then in verse 19, look at verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou will return, then will I bring thee again. Thou shalt stand before me, Jeremiah. And if thou do something, take forth the precious from what? There's the mixture. The precious from the vial. Thou shalt be as my mouth. And how many know if you're going to have God's mouth, brother, when you prophesy, it's of the Holy Ghost. When you cast out devils, they go. Come on. That's amen. And whatever you do, whatever you say, wherever you go, God is speaking through you. But this word has got to be found. It's got to be worked in you. And you've got to come to a place in God where you can truly recognize, discern by the Holy Ghost, which is vile and which is precious, and deal with it, throw it out, and become his mouthpiece. Can you say amen? And God's word will not return to him void when he speaks. How many know when God speaks, breath goes out of God's mouth? Just like in the natural, when you speak, breath goes out your mouth. The Spirit, when God speaks, the breath of the Spirit of the life of the Lord goes forth. And we're becoming his mouth. I want to tell you something. We're speaking by his breath. Hallelujah. By the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not through yet. Hang on. I'm in no hurry tonight. Because I won't tell you what everything I wanted to say. But go to Galatians. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look in verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Now the translation said, oh, beloved idiots. How many know we're foolish at times? We're blockheads. We are those foolish virgins at times, brother. We don't stay filled with the Holy Ghost. We become the blockheads. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Christ has been evidently crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the Lord, by the hearing of faith. Now look at verse 3. Are you so foolish? Yes, many are, Lord. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? No. There is a mixture in the holy flesh, isn't there? Ezra 9. How many ever getting mad in the Holy Ghost? Are you hearing me? How many know Jesus got mad in the temple? That's the way I feel tonight in the Spirit. I feel a whole anger against the enemy. Are you hearing me? And I don't believe it's of me. I believe it's of God. Turn to Ezra 9. Ezra 9, 1 through 5. Now, when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and the Amorites. Now look at verse 2. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the what? Holy seed have mingled, there's your mixture, themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. Notice, the princes and the rulers had set the example of this mixture. Can I say again today, we see it in the church? Among the rulers and the chiefs. Come on. And when I heard this thing, I just loved them to death. And said, do it again. No. I rent my garment, my mantle, plucked off the hair of my head, out of my beard, and sat down. Then were assembled unto me everyone that tremble at the words of the God of Israel. Do you hear that? Tremble at the words of the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness. having rent my garment, my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord God, my God. How many know we need to cry out against this mixture in the church? Although I don't think you should pull your hair out. Some would have to go too far. They just lift their wig, I guess. Praise the Lord. Turn to Nehemiah 13. No. Go back to Ezra 2 first. Ezra 2. Ezra 2, 59. And these were they which went up with Tamilah and, well, all these names, I'm not going to read them. But they could not show their father's house and their seed whether they were of Israel. They could not prove they were of Israel. They could not prove their true lineage. Do you know there are people in the church that say, I'm a Christian, that are not Christian? By their fruit, you're going to know. Verse 62. These sought their rest among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore were they as polluted from the put from the priesthood. I mean, there's those who are polluted among the church. They don't belong among the kings and the priests he's raising up because they rejected the king and the true priest. Amen? Look at verse 33 now, 63. Don't miss this. And the, and this means Nehemiah here, said to them that they should not eat of the most holy thing. I mean, there's a most holy place. There's a kingdom of God realm. But right here, they should not eat of the most holy things till, time word, there stood up a priest with Urim and with Thummim. How many know he stood up one time? And he's tonight making intercession for you and me. Can you say amen? And that means perfection in life, that word Urim and Thummim. There is a Melchizedek priesthood God's raising up in this hour. Hallelujah. A true priesthood. And notice they this man, Nehemiah, commanded they were not to eat of this most holy thing till that priest stood up. But brother, he stood up. He's given his life. He's in the Holy of Holies tonight, and he's raising the people up also with perfection and life. Hallelujah. God's son. Glory to God. How many know they're the true seed of God? Turn to Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah 13, verse 1. On that day they read in the book of Moses and the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonites and the Moabites, the ones that came from Lot and his daughters, should not come into the congregation of God forever. Now, Deuteronomy 23, it says for 10 generations, isn't that right? Which is about 400 years. That's a long time to miss church, isn't it? Or whatever. We're talking about a curse. Now, look also in verse 23. Verse 23, we're going to look at several scriptures here. Now follow me, verse 23. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. There was a mixture among God's people here in the Old Testament. Isn't that right? Now look at verse 24. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language. Again, there are people saying, I'm Jews, but they can't talk it like a Christian. Isn't that right? But according to the language of each people. And I contended with them. Look at here. You talk about Ezra got upset and cursed them, smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair. Ezra plucked his own out and made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughters to your sons or for yourself. They were heathen people. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, look in verse... let's go back to that verse 23. In those days also saw I Jews that married wives of Ashdod. Keep your place. Turn to Joshua 11. I mean, if you don't deal with the enemy, he's going to crop up down the road somewhere. Huh? Look in Joshua 11. Look at verse 22, brethren. There was none of the Anakims left in the land, that's the giants, of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. Now, what happened in Gaza? That's where Samson went into a harlot. Sexual sin. Gath is the giant that defiled God's people until David killed it. And Ashdod is the people that the Jews married, intermingled and married. And that's why Nehemiah was so upset. And they couldn't notice. It says here that their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak the Jews' language. There's really a mixture, isn't there? In the natural, but there's a mixture tonight in the church. Hallelujah. Some of us who are saved and spirit-filled can't speak if God wants us to speak His language. Now, look in chapter 13 here. Look in verse 3. Now, of Nehemiah 13:3. Now, it came to pass when they heard the law, that's the word, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. How many know sometimes when you read that in the scripture, it's talking about a great mixture? But here there was a separation of this mixed multitude, wasn't there? And here before this priest who had the oversight, verse 4, of the chamber of the house of God, well, he was allied with who? Tobiah. Sanballat is a type of Satan. Tobiah is a type of the carnal mind. And yet Tobiah was an Ammonite. He was not to enter the congregation of the Lord. And yet here's a priest that brings him right in. Are you hearing me? How many know Tobiah's in the church today? Notice it says here. He brought him in the chambers of the house of our God and was allied to Tobiah. And he prepared for him a great chamber. Notice this priest prepared this chamber for him. For aforetime they laid the meat offerings, frankincense, vessels, and so forth. But look in verse 7. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that this priest did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore, therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Thank God for Nehemiah. And then he said, I commanded them to cleanse the chambers. Well, let me show you this in another scripture. Second Chronicles. 26, 29, somewhere through there. Second Chronicles 29. I won't go into all the details, but Hezekiah is having the temple cleaned up here. In verse 5, here he's given a command to the Levites. The king is giving a command to the Levites. And said to them, hear me, ye Levites. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 5. Sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord, a God of your fathers. You can't sanctify God unless you're getting sanctified. Isn't that right? And carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. What's the holy place? It's the soul realm. Verse 7. Also they shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and so forth. Come up to verse 11. My sons, be not now negligent. That means don't be deceived. The Lord hath chosen you to stand before him to serve him, that you should minister unto him and burn incense. That's to worship the Lord. Verse 16. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord, and the Levites took it and carried it out unto the brook Kidron. And how many know that's where the water's flowing? How many know once you get it out, let the water take it on down? Don't try to go down and find it somewhere. Let it go. Are you hearing me? Once you've been delivered, don't try to dig it up again if you truly let it go. Isn't that right? Once it's gone, let it go. Let the water wash it on down. Hallelujah. Get cleansed of that thing, whatever it may be. Praise the Lord. Go to Numbers 11. Just a few more scriptures here. Maybe. Numbers 11. Hallelujah. We're talking about a mixture tonight. Verse 1. And when the people complained, murmured. Verse 1. It displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. I want to show you who murmurs and complains. It's those who live on the extremities, way out there on the outer court. Not always, but most of the time. How many know we start complaining, we get away from God? We get cold, we get indifferent. Verse 2, the people cried to Moses, and Moses prayed, and the fire was quenched. Thank God for the intercessors. Verse 3, he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Verse 4, and the what? Mixed multitude, the great mixture that was among them, fell a-lusting. The mixture fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember, that's going back to the good old days. The fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and garlic that Egypt had. You can contrast that with Deuteronomy 8:8 in the New Land. But now our soul, soulish, is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this word of God between our eyes, or before our eyes. How many know what the manna is the type of the word? Hallelujah. How many love the manna? But I know people don't love it. I've seen people despise the Word of God. They hate it. How many know it speaks to us? It cuts. Amen? And how many know when the manna came, it also was a time when the dew fell. You can't have the manna without the dew. And brethren, we need the manna, but we need the dew of the Holy Ghost. How many know dew doesn't fall in the storm? But dew only falls when it's quiet. And the dew doesn't fall until it's dark. And I'm here to tell you, brother, darkness is coming upon the world. But in the hour of darkness, God's going to send the dew. God's going to send the rain, the latter rain. The only way you and I are going to make it through the days ahead and the hours and years ahead, however long time we have, will be because of God's Spirit that's going to be poured out. You're not going to make it in your strength. Neither am I. I learned a long time ago what my strength is. And I learned a long time ago that you've got to have a strong body to go on for God. And you've got to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? We've got to walk by what the Word says. How many know faith comes by hearing still yet? Amen. And hearing by the Word of God. Amen. And that's the rhema hearing. When you read that word, how many know you need to hear the Holy Ghost speaking to you individually as well as corporately? Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, brethren, there's a mixture in all of us. And we know exactly how to deal with these things. We know those things that are in us. Those lusts, that murmuring, that complaining, that envy, whatever it may be. We're not here to point a finger, but we're here to let you know that you know most of the time the problem that you're facing. And you and I have to deal with those things in our life. Too many times we want somebody else to deal with the problems that we have. But we have to deal with them ourselves. Isn't that right? Okay, let's stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, we bless you. We praise you. And Lord, we ask tonight that you put your finger upon those things that's within us, that's a mixture, Lord. That lust. Lord, those lusts, those thoughts, those things that we, Lord, sometimes we just revel in and we like in the natural. We ask the Holy Spirit tonight to put the finger of God upon those areas in our life. Lord, put your finger upon those doctrines of men. Put your fingers upon those things that we don't like to hear when the Word's preached, Lord. Lord, when we are offended, when there's something inside that says, I don't believe that when the Word says it, Lord. I pray, Lord. Forgive us of rebellion.
Yes, hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against all lust in this place.
Hallelujah.
I come against all rebellion in this place, in our lives, in the name of Jesus. All this mixture of envy, complaining, murmuring, and grumbling, and griping, I come against you. In the name of Jesus, we command you to take your hands off of God's people. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I adjure you in the name of Jesus. And I take dominion and authority over those conditions and those things in your people. in the name of Jesus. Let them go, folks. Let them go. You don't need them.
Hallelujah.
Let them go. Let that mixture go in you and me.
Hallelujah.
Tonight, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Handarabakatarabah sandarabakaya. Handarabakotarabah handarabakaya. Handarabokotarabahsitarabahaya. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, minister to your people. Convict of sin in this place tonight, and of judgment and righteousness, O God. Convict, O God, by the Holy Ghost, of our stubbornness and our iniquity and our rebellion, Lord. And forgive us, we pray. Forgive us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, forgive us, my God. Forgive us, Lord God. Handarabakita. Oh God. Hallelujah. The only way I know to close the service, at least for right now, until I get back to Brother Glenn, I feel again that we need to get on our face tonight and repent before God in this service. I know by the Holy Ghost that we've got to repent of things in this service tonight before you go to your room. I'm going to ask you to go to kneel where you are for a few minutes, and then I'll turn it back to Brother Glenn. I know there's a lot of conviction and repentance that must be wrought here in this service right now. In the name of Jesus.
Father, I thank you for the word. May it burn deep within us. May we desire to have our temples cleansed of the abominations and the filth that's contrary to thy presence. Oh God, that with our hearts and our lives to know the fullness of thy Son, Jesus, that he may dwell in us in his fullness as we cleanse our temple of the abominations and the things that are contrary to your word. Wash us afresh and cleanse us by your blood. Cleanse us afresh tonight and help us to desire and to cry out and to call out. Cleanse me, O Lord. Cleanse me afresh and anew. Wash me in your blood, Lord, afresh and anew tonight. And I thank you for it. Father, I commit these thy people into thy keeping and thy care tonight. Disturb us in the night season. Show us the error of our ways, Lord, the abominations. We may cry out unto thee. Oh God, cleanse me by your blood. Wash me and cleanse me. Lord, I commit us under thy keeping and thy care for a night's rest of peace. Unless you convict us of our sins and abominations in the night season. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. The Lord bless you. See you in the morning for breakfast and prayer meeting. Amen. Don't forget at 6 o'clock in the morning, those that can come and pray. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.